This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. Somewhere, but I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Oliver is 6'2" and looks lean for his 210 pounds. He has short hair, and when you look into his piercing blue eyes, you can tell he has a history to tell. Sam has written a memoir titled 27 Seasons that details the years of physical, sexual, and psychological abuse he has faced in his youth at the hands of multiple abusers. You are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM, and Hood River at 90.9 FM. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and tonight we're speaking with Sam Oliver about his life, the cycle of child abuse that affects our society and those in our justice system, and how he broke free of it.
Terrible hatred grows in the heart of a child, that who, by the touch of man, has lost its soul. I was that child that had lost my soul. My name's Sam Oliver. I am the author of 27 Seasons, recovering heroin addict, recovering alcoholic. I spent nearly 30 years in my addiction. In the end, it cost me a great portion of my life.
From an early age, Sam Oliver's life became dominated by abuse and isolation, made that way by the sickness of others.
My mother and real father had divorced, and she remarried when I was 8 months old. And the first abuser was my stepfather. You know, the physical, the emotional, the sexual abuse on such at such a young age, you know, was just the introduction to what was to come, you know.
And when did this begin, Sam?
As early as I can remember. The first I really remember is I was probably five, six, somewhere in that area.
Before Sam's stepfather, Larry, began the abuse, Sam's brother Cleve and sister Candy lived with them. His companions were taken away one day, and the cycle of abuse and isolation began.
My brother's, his name's Cleve. My sister, her name's Candy. What had happened was Larry, I had walked in the room one time, and Larry was just pulling up his pants and stuff. Told us to stay up in the bedroom until dinner time, and this was just shortly after lunch. And it was just a short time later that my real father had came and taken my brother and sister out of the house. I was probably about 6 or 7, so I was alone. You know, I was alone. Larry went through great lengths to remind me that I was so young, and it was a shame that my brother and sister didn't want to be with me. So the threat of having my mom taken was just exemplified by my brother and sister being gone, you know.
Sam's mother also suffered from a very different sort of illness, multiple sclerosis. The burden fell to a young Sam to care for her, and Sam's stepfather, Larry, used Sam's love to continue the abuse.
My mother was on a lot of medications as I was growing up, so it was my job to clean her, bathe her, feed her, and do all these things. Yet, when Larry got home, I had to have dinner on the table. The house had to be cleaned. And if it wasn't done just right, ultimately I'd pay the price. It was always a threat that if I told anybody that they would come and take my mother. I was alone, you know, I was alone. And I felt like I was all she had and she was all I had. You know, I know a child's love for their mother is strongest when they hurt the most. You know, and I look back and I see that love that I had for my mother. You know, in the fear that she would be taken. You know, and that was used against me.
Sam's mother soon joined Larry in performing the abuse, making Sam's situation that much more unbearable. Sam did have one retreat, though, and as we will soon see, it too ended in betrayal. The next character to enter this story was named Junior.
You know, my getaway growing up, where I grew up in Flat Rock, at the end of my street, we had the Huron River. And that was my place of peace, you know. I'd go there as much as I could. You know, I'd go sit underneath a tree and throw rocks in the river or go fishing as much as I could. And then one day I was salmon fishing. And I had walked up the bank a little bit. And I saw this nice fishing pole and a tackle box that, you know, I couldn't own. You know, this was the good equipment, you know. And I remember standing there calling out for somebody. And finally I picked it up and I started to walk away. And this man came running down the hill saying that it was his. Well, I started to run, and I tripped, and I tore my pants, and I hurt my knee. And he picked me up and fixed my knee, and so we started talking, and we fished together that day. And that's the day I caught my first salmon, you know. And he took me to Dairy Queen. I'd never been to Dairy Queen, you know, to celebrate. And then he picked me up the next day at the same place. And then he continued to pick me up. Continued to take me places I'd never been, I'd never be able to go. And one day he had taken me. I had just my bathing suit on, you know, and he saw the marks on my back, you know, and I explained to him that Larry only does it when I'm bad, you know. And he asked me if I ever told anybody. And I says, no, I can't tell anybody because they'll take my mom. I said, I do good, right? His name was Junior. And he says, yeah, you do good. You should never tell anything. Anybody tells you not to tell.
This opened up a whole new cycle of abuse. It demonstrated to him that you could be taken advantage of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this went for years.
After years of abuse from Larry, his mother, and Junior, at the age of 11, Sam decided to put his trust in someone.
Then at 11 years old, I was ready to break. I know I was just ready to break. And I had to tell somebody. You know, I had to tell somebody. So there was an older man in an apartment complex not too far from where I grew up. And sometimes us kids would go there, and he'd let us in and watch his TV. And we had all stayed the night there sometimes, you know, and it was harmless. You know, it was fun. It was away from the life that we knew, you know. And then one particular night, I stayed there alone, you know. And I told him the things that were going on. And he, too, asked if I had ever told anybody. I says, no, because if I do, they'll take my mom. And then there were four. So, at 11 years old, you know, I just wanted the world to end. I just wanted things to end.
With four abusers now and 27 seasons into the abuse, Sam broke away from Larry, his mother, Junior, and the old man.
When I, at the age of 13, Junior had taken me down to Florida, I think on that vacation, the violence and the abuse, it gotten about its worst. You know, from being tied up to the bed and abused, I think it got at its worst. When we got back from Florida, one day, they were all at the house. Junior was there with my mom and dad. And I let them know that under no conditions would this happen again. And if it did, that I would kill him. And it stopped. It stopped. However, what I've learned, that no one can ever abuse us any worse than we can abuse ourselves.
are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM, and Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Peter Pincel, and tonight we're speaking with Sam Oliver about his life, the cycle of child abuse that he has faced and that affects our society, and how he broke free of it. We rejoin Sam now that he has broken free of his abusers, and he enters a new chapter of his life, one in which the destruction continues, this time through Sam's life of crime and perpetuation of the cycle of abuse.
That's when I started to run, run from the nightmares, you know, the flashbacks. The drinking began, and the drugging. I too had become violent in my relationships. My lack of trust in anything that anybody has ever said to me caused a lot of damage, you know, and a lot of hurt. And I continued to run for nearly 30 years. Pain in prison had become a way of life. You know, I had short periods of sobriety, but never anything lasting. And until the night of July 23rd, 2005, I laid in bed. I was down to 147 pounds. I was stealing and committing crimes to support my habit. Something needed to end. However, I wasn't willing to kill myself like my father had done me. He had hung himself when I was 15 on Christmas. And I didn't want to do that to my children. You know, I hadn't been much of a father, but I was going to be better than a dead father. I prayed to God like I never prayed before. You know, just make it stop. I don't care what you do, make it stop. And next day, I was arrested for a robbery. That was the first day that led the path to where I'm at now. When I was finally sentenced, I believe it was December 8, 2005, I was sentenced to 94 months.
The long prison sentence afforded Sam the time to process what he had been through, and he heard the call to share his story. That's when he began to write.
When I was able to start thinking, I started hearing what I call God, saying, okay, now you need to help others. The prisons are full of guys just like me that have been through the abuse and the women's prisons. That had been through the abuse. One particular time, I was at Eastern Oregon Correctional Institute in Pendleton, and one of the guys in the yard, a gang member, come up and he says, hey, Sammy, I hear you're writing a book. And I said, yeah. He said, well, what's it about? And I told him. He says, yeah. He says, it's about time somebody spoke for us. You know, and that just reinforced what I was doing. It, by far, is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. You know, a lot of the guys and women went through their own abuses. and it's costing the community and the taxpayers in the hundreds of millions. I know there was a statistic just 2 years ago that put the price at $144 million in a year, you know. Every year, 3.3 million reports of child abuse are made in the United States involving nearly 6 million children. You know, the United States has the worst record in an industrialized nation for child abuse. Like I said, our prisons are full, they're overcrowded, and there's an absolute correlation between abuse as a child and the prison population. We don't learn how to deal with it. You know, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars on housing inmates, but very little on preventing the abuses to escalate into, you know, somebody's adulthood, to where they can deal with this stuff. There needs to be some programs put in to where people as adults that have been abused as children have places to go to deal with that stuff.
So tell us a little bit about where you are today, Sam.
Well, after I completed writing 27 seasons, I've not had one more nightmare. The flashbacks are now just memories that I use to help others. By the grace of God, I have over 7 years of sobriety. I am back to work for the union, a great company, Long Painting Company. Today, I'm the chairman of Volunteers of America and ACTS Alumni Committee. Volunteers of America is another program that we go into. It's a REC program, which is a reentry program. And they help you stay grounded, give you some more tools, and support your recovery shortly after you get out of prison. I'm involved in Narcotics Anonymous. I work with others. My girlfriend, Vicki Fisher. Vicki helps keep me grounded also. I have a family here that has taken me in and accepted me as their own. I have Julie Case, probably the biggest influence in my life to help me keep me where I'm at, keep me going. Today I have a life, you know. I have friends, and most of all, I have freedom from the past, and I got a great future ahead of me. I might be out here in the free world, you know, but my spirit is with those guys that are in there that don't know how to find that freedom, you know, and my heart goes out to them, you know, but I promise there is a better way to live. Rather than the prison that we have put ourselves in our minds.
for joining us this evening on Prison Pipeline. We've spoken with Sam Oliver, recovering addict, survivor of child abuse, formerly incarcerated, and author of his memoir, 27 Seasons. If you are interested in learning more about Sam's memoir, please visit 27seasons.com, all spelled out, a link to which will be on our website at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Also visit that website for recordings of this and past shows. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and tune in next week to hear my co-host, Carlos Chavez. Again, this is your host, Peter Pincel, saying Happy New Year, thank you, and good night.
KBOO Community Radio Night for the 2013 Blazers season will be April 17th, the last home game of the regular season. Tickets are limited for this unique opportunity, where a portion of the proceeds will help support your community radio station. More information can be found at kboo.fm/Blazers.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the 28th annual Martin Luther King Day event. Keep Alive the Dream, an annual tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., produced by the World Arts Foundation. This year's event will take place at the New Beginnings Conference Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in Portland. KBOO will again broadcast the annual celebration in its entirety. More information about this live broadcast can be found at kboo.fm/2013MLK.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from AFSCME Local 88. Protecting worker rights and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members who work for Multnomah County, Central City Concern, Transition Projects, and American Friends Service Committee. More information at 503-239-9858 or www.afscmelocal88.org.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corvallis and Albany. The time is 7 o'clock on the dot. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio, coming up now.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Back. We're talking about a subject. We're talking about
everybody. Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we talk about what is the big problem in Congress. And you want to know what it is? It is white males. They are the problem. We talk about white supremacy coming from an article written by a former right-wing evangelical. You don't want to miss it. All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines.
Check this out. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one with the Grand Verbalizer.
Bunkin' Lesson Brother J, the X-Clan.
That's right, so keep it locked, Hard Knock Radio.
One love.
This is Jim Brown, number 32 from the Cleveland Browns on Hard Knock Radio.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King on Hard Knock Radio. Tune in and listen, babies.
This is Michael Eric Dyson. When I'm in the Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco area, and I want to hear the real deal, I listen to Hard Knock Radio with my man, Davey D. You heard?